UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
So as much as I give the big head of producer grief for not listening, evidently I wasn't listening either, because we're going to talk gambling in a bit, because, and I asked why, and he said, because I just mentioned on the air earlier that the Kentucky legislature is going to pass, they're going to discuss, they're laying odds on whether they will pass. What's the status of this about sports gambling? What is the deal with that?
They had to make this magical disembodied voice joining you in the studio.
This is the artist formerly known as Flatmate Tom.
Yeah, the legislature had to make a tweak because the original bill said you weren't going to be able to gamble on U of L or UK, and they realized, well, that was pretty dumb, so they rewrote the bill, and it's I don't know if it actually passed already, but it's essentially a guarantee from what everybody hears.
That they're going to have sports gambling in Kentucky.
That's what we hear.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just here to tell you, Chad's here, so he may not like this, but I'm absolutely going to do it. If they pass it, we are going to have a parade through the studio. If you're a listener and you want to be part of it, you come down. We'll line everybody up outside the front door.
Do we finally have the tiger party, too? The tiger cake?
What's that?
You said you were going to throw a party in Locke's face.
Oh, because... not his face, but yeah, when Tiger, when yeah,
a little bit in Locke's
face. Well, we could combine it. Then we could have a lot of people that would come to this party. But we'll just have them. They'll march right through, make a loop around the sales area over there, and then head out the back. And it'll be a parade that lasts 3 minutes, maybe 4 minutes.
Fair enough. You can do it like the New Orleans style parade, you know, the funeral parade.
What's
it,
that?
It's a very slow march with the jazz and everything.
Really?
Oh, yeah. What's it called? Like a something line?
I know there's a word for
Samba.
It. I'm supposed to be the facts guy, and I don't even know the word.
Oh, because my man Hannibal Buress, who everyone hates now for some reason, he does a bit about that. You're going to New Orleans, and you can throw a parade for like $400.
Yeah, exactly.
And just mess up traffic and
You're
drink
kidding,
in the street.
Really?
Totally. Yeah. No. Just get a permit and walk down the street.
Yeah,
Why the hell won't we do that?
You hire a band.
Seriously?
You basically walk around Bourbon Street. You go in and out of the bars, pick up people. People will come join your parade. And
now have a new thing on my bucket list.
The police, like in New Orleans, will help you organize a route.
We have got to do that.
Hey, the women's Final Four is in New Orleans this year. Maybe we might have an excuse to go
I'm
down
serious.
There. You know?
We have got to. That has got to be a bucket list thing. A parade, your own parade. Through New Orleans. I mean, it would be impressive enough just to organize a parade through Elizabethtown. But to do it in New Orleans.
You get like a 3-piece band. And then people will. The whole idea is for people to join your parade.
I'll just go ahead and toss it out there that as president of the Coopers, I coordinated multiple parades. So, you know, keep me in the loop here.
I heard that about him. He would have multiple parades.
Totally. Well, I promised,
see what I did there?
I promised Nikki I'd do a tight five. You got a guest coming up. So on We Want to Know Wednesday.
We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday.
It's very, very appropriate that you were talking about Vin Scully.
Sure.
I'll do a quick aside about the old school broadcasters. Of course, Vin started out in Brooklyn, right?
He did. He went to Fordham, New York guy.
That's where my mom started out, Brooklyn, Park Slope, Brooklyn. That's where I started out technically, but Flatbush. But I saw a really good bit by a guy, Hank Azaria. He does voices on The Simpsons, a good comedian, and he's on a show on IFC called Brockmire.
Yes.
I love that show. And he did a little bit where he was talking about how if you're an old school broadcaster and you do the old school broadcaster voice, you can literally say anything as long as you give the pitch count afterwards. So it's like, Sabo steps up to the plate. Man, I was so strung out last night, I don't even know. I woke up wearing a dress, and I have no idea where I was. That goat was not there when I went to sleep. Ball outside, 1-0. I was like, that is just one of the funniest, and it's absolutely true.
It is. Who's saying that? Hank Azaria, the character?
Oh, he's talking about Hank Azaria. Yeah, oh, it's amazing.
Hank Azaria is one of my favorites.
The reason New York was so appropriate for this We Want to Know Wednesday fact is I was thinking about American chestnut trees. Crazy thing. So if you were to pose this in the form of a question, what is one of the most sought after American hardwoods ever? And the answer is the American chestnut tree. And why is it so sought after? Well, it's so rare. Why is it so rare? Well, back in like 1904, I think, some intelligent person imported a whole bunch of Chinese chestnut trees into the Bronx. It was the Zoological Park. Now it's the Bronx Zoo.
Yep.
And Prospect Park, and put them on all. Oh, look how pretty these things okay. are, right? Well, the problem was there already was a chestnut tree in the United States, the American chestnut tree.
It's the best chestnut tree.
It is the best, literally, and I'll talk about that. But the Chinese chestnut tree brought a fungus with it. And
It's typical. That's why we need a wall.
Totally.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go down there.
Well, it brought a fungus with it that the Chinese chestnut tree had grown to be adapted to. But the American chestnut tree was not. And so suddenly, American chestnut trees, right when they got to be about teenagers, which, you know, speaking as a former teenager, fungus is a problem.
It's a good point.
You know what they say about you know what they say about people who have fungus growing all over them, right? They're fun guys.
Where's Oswald when we need him? Oswald!
This fungus, this nasty fungus, essentially started wiping out all of these American chestnut trees. Now, why was this a problem? It's like, well, you got the Chinese chestnuts, don't you? No.
No.
American chestnut trees grew extremely fast. Like, it only took maybe less than 30 years to go from sapling to full size, which was crazy if you're a tree farmer. And then they put out lots of nuts, which is something that, again, teenagers maybe. They were prolific. They would spread and grow quickly, and you just had this almost endless supply of wood. And not only that, but they were extremely resistant to rot, so they would last for a long time.
Nice. Right?
Which is why nowadays, whenever somebody says, I have a piece of chestnut furniture, that's the kind of thing you hand down in your family.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like, no, that's not going to rot. It's not going to go bad.
But
it's
good stuff. is that only unique to American chestnut?
It's unique to the American chestnut. Okay. So the other chestnut trees don't have these qualities. They're not as good in terms of making furniture, houses, whatever, right? So all of a sudden, this fungus from the Bronx, which is, you know, where a lot of funguses start.
Sure they do.
spreads throughout the entire Eastern United States. Like, the Eastern United States at one point was basically just one gigantic forest. Of course, we whittled that down a little bit by this time. But by then, when the fungus started spreading, within 20 years, it had wiped out essentially every American chestnut, and they were gone. But the American chestnut, not just a good hardwood, not just a really prolific breeder, it is also just, it don't quit. It never gives up. And here's why that happens.
Should adopt it as the official V-show tree.
They grow up. You should. They grow up to be about teenagers, and then the fungus takes hold and kills them off. But the thing about chestnut trees is the tips of all of their roots will magically sprout baby trees afterwards. So you literally can't kill the darn thing.
Love it.
So what they did, and I as a teenager in high school would crawl around the forests of eastern Kentucky looking for chestnut trees for samples, because Georgia Southern University actually had a farm where they were growing chestnuts, and they basically started doing the crossbreeding where they take a stick from one and stick it on the other tree, and slowly over time they kind of combine the two until you get all the good properties of the American chestnut and the resistance from the Chinese chestnut. And so they're in the process of starting to reintroduce them out in the field. So
it's still listed as an endangered species in Canada as well as the United States.
Absolutely is. But that's why on We Want to Know Wednesday, when you say to me, Tom, what is one of the most sought after hardwoods in the United States?
Yeah, and I've been saying that since I met you.
I think that was the first thing I said to you.
There's your fact.
So these are the chestnuts that that Nat King Cole refers to as being roasted on an open fire?
I would certainly hope so, because they would put out the good stuff, man. It's like just ridiculous amounts of nuts falling off the tree every autumn and just good stuff. So if you see a chestnut tree, say hello, tell it good job, and I'm out of here.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why he's known as Joey Chestnut. Wait a minute. Anyway. All right, what are we doing here, Big Head? Hey, you stop talking to Mrs. Taylor.
Process wants to produce wants to state his business. By the
state
way,
state your business.
I'm going to get Dennis Dodd on the phone.
Who are these people?
Yeah, you didn't ask me to state my business.
Well, I was busy. I had a guest. I couldn't be rude to him.
So there was a camera out there, and you know me. I love the attention.
Sure you
do. So I was, of course, like, ooh, camera. So I came in here just in case we get on the 6 o'clock news.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I got to admire not only your honesty, but your initiative to come in here and make no bones about absolutely having nothing whatsoever of value to do other than try and get your face on the news.
I needed a five-minute break from Andy's show, man. That's running and things crazy.
Who doesn't? By the way, Texter makes a great point. A V Foundation parade through New Orleans, guaranteed you'd make your money back in donations. That's a great point. We may have to do that. We may have to bring a group down there. The Kentuckiana Friends of V, Fight Against Cancer, impromptu New Orleans parade. Dennis Dodd joins us here from CBS Sports, who just got back from New Orleans. Dennis, I just learned today, you probably know this because you know stuff, anybody can organize a parade in New Orleans. Did you know that? You can just go.
I did not know that, and it doesn't surprise me.
How awesome would that be? So that's now on my bucket list. I want to go. Evidently, you give them like $500, you get a permit, and you go marching in and out of the bars, and people will just jump in and join in. They don't even know what it's for, and they hop in your parade. Well,
I got there Thursday, and that night I went out to eat with my editor, and that happened. It was just there's tons of me with the trombone and a tuba.
That's
and
awesome.
They walk down the street, people gather. I said, "That's New Orleans right there."
That, somebody said, "Do that for the V Foundation. You'll make your money back, whatever the parade costs you, and more, and then some." I think they're onto something there. So we may have to do that. Will you be in our parade if we go down there? If you're in town,
I will. I will be leading. I'll be the major drum major, whatever you call it.
There's right your story. Today on the V Show, breaking news, Dennis Dodd's agreed to be the drum major for our impromptu parade through New Orleans. Hey, this the first question that must be asked, I think, is where? I mean, it's always dangerous when you start talking historical context so close to an event that just happened. But, boy, LSU's resume takes a back seat to very few. Is it fair to talk about this team among the best in college football history?
Yeah, I mean, their set of accomplishments this season in becoming a national champion are unparalleled when you talk about six top 10 teams, winning the SEC, winning a playoff. You know, none of the teams they can really be compared to had to run the gauntlet of a playoff, and then they have the Heisman Trophy winner. And who knows how many NFL players we'll find out in the future. You'll have to go down and make the best single season ever by a team. Championship, so yeah.
All right. Wait, I'm sorry. We were having some trouble with the levels there, Dennis. We couldn't hear you for a little bit very well there.
So was it me or you?
It's not you. It's me. I'm telling you. So we think we got it straightened out anyway.
Okay.
Ed Orgeron is truly one of the most fascinating now characters in sports. I was reading about how the game ended and he's leaving the field and somebody came up to him and he did an interview in French. I didn't even know he spoke French, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised growing up where he did. But, you know, he's got that crazy Muppets kind of voice, and he likes to punch himself in the face before games. And yet, however he's done it, he's put together a powerhouse program, and he doesn't seem like the paranoid, stereotypical big-time college football coach. He seems like just a kind of cool guy. So what about him? What's his role in all this?
Accept his humility, you know, stay a human being, stay very personable. I think that's the way he always was. When I knew him at USC, he was that way. But he was always that guy who was going to be a lifer. You know, defensive line coach, great cornerstone recruiter, inspirational guy. You know, the guy that was caught ripping off his shirt in front of a USC's team to get him fired up. You know, he was always that guy, kind of comical, never thought of as, you know what I'm talking about, presidential material, head coach material. But then he does so well at USC that he gets hired at Ole Miss and then probably goes 10-25, 3-21 in the SEC, and it looks like he'll never be a power five coach again. And goes back and rehabs himself a second way, becomes an interim coach at USC, goes to the Saints for a year, becomes an interim coach, gets hired by Les Miles, interim coach when he gets fired, goes 6-2. And then, Bobby, you know this, was a third choice, at least, when he got the job. They couldn't land Jimbo Fisher or Tom Herman. And he had no problem with that. You know, it didn't hurt his ego. He said, hey, I got the gig. And look, I pointed out in my story, one of the stories in the aftermath. September 7th of 17, game five of the season, they lose at home to Troy. And I remember being there on that Monday for the press conference, and I've been to half of your funerals. I mean, I didn't know if he was going to make it out of that week.
Yep.
I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
I was ready to get rid of him. Since then, 32-5, you know, I'd have to tell you what happened, 15-0 national champions. A series of fortunate events. He decides to switch to the spread, gets Joe Brady, who clicks immediately with Steve Ensminger, you know, gets Joe Burrow, and off you go. And it's okay being that CEO coach, that, you know, that royal kingmaker coach, which he is. Everything seems to click under him. I don't see him on the phones during the game saying, let's switch to this.
Mm-hmm.
But I see everybody working in concert.
Yep.
And a guy who can absolutely assemble talent to win a championship.
Well, and that's what a football coach is. I mean, he's generally a CEO of a big company, and he seems to have the pieces in place and gives them the resources to do their job. I give him credit. He knows how he wants to play, and isn't that what a CEO does? He paints the vision for his people and then figures out how to go about doing it and brings the right people in to get it done.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, he finally got his chance, but it just – boy, the turmoil he went through and the stages he went through in his career, he had at Miami, won two championships at Miami, I think under, I want to say Jimmy or maybe Dennis Erickson, I'm not sure. But along the way was admitted had alcohol problems, had a woman file a restraining order against him, which she subsequently lifted. But he had issues. He had personal issues. And he got over them. You know, he has, you know, alcoholism. Well, nobody beats alcoholism, but he's taken the cure for alcoholism, and look where he is now. I was in midfield with him after the Alabama game, and it was him and his wife and his two sons, and they were all crying. And I had a microphone. I was doing video, and I go, Ed, what are you crying beyond this game? What are you crying about? And we decided that it was December 13. The players at USC were in a room when he told them he wasn't getting a job, and they all cried. That's how much they wanted him, and that's what he was thinking about in that moment. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, when you create that kind of passion and loyalty from your players, good things can happen. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Dennis Dodds with us from CBS Sports. The Louisville fans will be delighted that you're with us because you came out with your much-too-early top 25. And lo and behold, number 16, I'm going to read it verbatim. Scott Satterfield was a turnaround artist in year one at Louisville. Cardinals went from 2-10 to 8-5. There's plenty to like about 2020. Cardinals were second in the ACC in rushing. Rising junior Tutu Atwell led the league in receiving, and quarterback Mikael Cunningham also returns. UK not on the list, though, so I'm sure the people around here would like to know about your thoughts on those two teams.
Yeah, I've got a piece coming out Friday about five who deserve mention, five to watch, you know, something like that, and look for Kentucky on that one. But, yeah, it's hard. I mean, it was hard. The five I didn't have in, how do you keep Oklahoma State out with now Chuba Hubbard coming back? What were the other ones? Oh, Appalachian State, who goes 12-1 and has most of their people back. Should be ranked in the top 25 at the end of the season. But no, Louisville, you know, I think, you know, credit Rocco at Louisville for putting a little bug in my ear to watch these guys go from 2-10 to 8-5. And I think Satterfield did something. I think he's got something going on with those guys I mentioned. And how about Bobby Petrino at Missouri State? That just, I woke up to that this morning. I go, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe it.
Well, I was going to ask you about that next. I mean, how do you sell that to your people exactly? I'm curious how that – what kind of reaction you think that's going to get out there?
I guess the AD, Kevin Motes, was at Louisville the last 2 years of Bobby Petrino 1.
Yeah, Kyle Motes. He was here.
Kyle Motes, I'm sorry. You know, there's the connection. But as Rick Bozich already wrote, they didn't even call. They didn't even call Louisville. How do you not do that? You know, what were the conditions of him leaving? What happened? How did, you know, what kind of person was he? I think that's a dangerous thing. And it reached a desperation for a program that was one in 11 last year, and has had one winning season in its last 10. It has attendance problems. They're just grabbing at straws now.
Well, you know what? There is certainly a large segment of every fan base that, you know, you win enough and all will be forgiven.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's, that That's American athletics. That's the United States of America right now. If you win at anything, you can pretty much write your ticket and morals be damned.
How about, just out of curiosity, we do have some listeners. We go into Southern Indiana. Indiana not in your top 25 after a really good year this year. What did you consider them? Obviously, you consider everybody, but what were your thoughts?
I did. And yeah, you're right. And they get a lot of people back, too. And Tom Allen's done a great job there. First time they won eight since 1993, I think. Yeah, they deserve mention. Maybe it's a case of too many Big Tens that you have to get in there that forces them out. But I did the thing, and I redid it and thought about it, and it's like a Rubik's Cube. You have to force people out at the end if you're going to get certain people you like. Cal's not in there. Cal has as many people coming back as anybody. You might laugh and say Cal, but they've got one of the best quarterbacks, this Garber's kid, coming back. Kansas State, I thought, had to be in there just because you went eight in the first year with a rookie head coach who just comes from FCS, and they get their quarterback back. So it's just – it's a fine line. Nothing against Indiana. I'm sure they'll be in there.
Now, under Dennis's blurb as a bio for Twitter, it says national college football writer for CBSSports.com, and now I explain why you chat with my son each time, because it also says hockey lover and dad. And my son, of course, was a college hockey player, and I couldn't help but if you don't like hockey at all, since you follow it, you'll appreciate this. It's pro sports, unlike college. Whatever goes in terms of coaches, I don't care. It's professional. They can do what they want. But if you don't laugh just a little bit about the bizarreness of coaching hires and fires in hockey, it's hard not to be amused. The Las Vegas Golden Knights went to the Stanley Cup final as an expansion team. And the guy did not last two more seasons after that. He evidently ate all sorts of stupid pills the next year. They lost in seven games in the first round of the playoffs to San Jose, who fired their coach early in the year.
And then
Las Vegas got rid of their guy and hired the guy who got fired in San Jose. It's hilarious. It is. Why do you need soap operas if you're a guy? Just follow hockey's coaching chain, and it will be – it's unbelievable. It's just – it literally is hard to fathom. They hire guys with – who had some, shall we say, conduct issues elsewhere. They resurface. Yeah. It's bizarro land. But I guess the guy got dumb in a year.
As I said, Gerard Gallant's residency in Las Vegas, isn't it?
Yes.
that's about what it was.
That's it. He was his residency. He's being replaced by, they're going to bring the Lion Tamer guys back. Those guys are coming back. It's unbelievable. Well, Dennis, thanks for being with us. We'll pick your brain as we go forward. It's always good to visit with you, and have a good new year. Thanks so much.
Hi, Bobby. Thank you.
All right, Dennis Dodd with us here on The V Show on ESPN 680-1057. Now, here's the thing that's weird. The TV people, weren't they here? Hey, Schwenk, weren't they here to get me to talk about gambling?
Yeah, maybe. And they got an interview with the VP.
Who?
The guy who does the flagship show in the morning, Diener.
So that's what I mean. So why didn't you make sure I got on? That's your job, is to make sure that we try and screw all the other shows. That's how radio works.
Well, we tried.
So now I'm not getting on, right?
They filmed a bunch of B-roll of you. I don't know.
That's what I am. Is that what I'm reduced to in life, a B-roll? That's what you're happy about, then, aren't you? Because yeah, sure. You probably said to them, "Listen, why are you waiting for him? You know, up the road is the guy who does our flagship show." Which
that's exactly what I did.
Yes.
No, you're right. In between juggling 15 different things back here, I had time to talk with the TV people and say that, you know what, our show be damned.
I was ready. He was ready. They were ready to talk to me. You didn't bother to tell me that's what they were doing here. So I went on.
I tried telling you at the beginning. You didn't try. Pretty sure I did.
Mr. Saturday Night is a fantastic movie that Billy Crystal did.
Is this what we want on a Wednesday fact, or just an opinion?
It's reminded me when I said, you didn't try. It's because it's so appropriate for Paul Rogers. Stop talking to him. Produce is starting to piss me off now. Okay? He doesn't understand.
He's trying to help podcast.
I don't give a crap what he's doing. I'm just telling you that you're quasi a co-host, and it's like trying to do a show with a guy who's got very, very severe ADD.
Well, and I do.
I know, and he's not helping any. So
they never prescribed me with that.
Mr. Saturday Night, I'm finishing this damn point, which is not going to be worth it by the end of it, but I'm in and I'm finishing it.
Is this the whole you're not funny, your living room funny?
No, it's because Billy Crystal's one of his big regrets is that film is not regarded as one of his best films, because, and I agree with him, I think it's fair. It's about a comedian. He plays the comedian who's nasty guy. He's got a huge ego, and his brother manages his career. He treats his brother like spit for much of his life, and his brother gets, and his career has gone on the skids. He's gotten older, and there's not a lot of work for old comics, and he's still always mad about it. No matter what he gets, work he gets is not good enough. He ruins a commercial because he doesn't want to be doing these commercials with the line is supposed to be, I think it's supposed to be he's wearing adult diapers, essentially. He's doing an endorsement for that. And he says, he walks over and he says, he's supposed to be at the party. And he goes, have you tried these crab cakes? They're delicious. And the point is going to be, I don't have to worry at these parties anymore. And he said, people are going to think I actually wear this. I don't want people to think that. So he's supposed to say that. And they say, ready, action. He walks over to the woman. He says, hey, I just took two of these crab cakes and stuffed them down my pants. Cut. And they fire him from that. Anyway, his brother quits. And he gets mad at him, and he berates him, and his brother wants to retire. And so he says to him, his brother, he's screaming at him, and he's, why do you want to leave? He said, I took care of you. He said, you were living room funny. You didn't have the balls to get out there like I did. I took care of you, the money, the celebrities, everything. He said, what are you so mad at? And he says to him, you could have been nicer. And that's how I feel about what went on with Paul Rogers. We've gone full circle. It just reminded me when I said that to you about, you could have tried harder to get me on the TV and with the New York accent. And then I remembered, and that triggered that line. And I said, how appropriate is that line today for what they did over at iHeart to my boy Paul? So you could have been nicer. Great line. Great film. If you haven't seen it, it's a brilliant film.
That's a film that I have wanted to see.
It's really, really good. Bob, better to be a B-roll than an A-hole. I agree with that. That's a good point.
Well said.
European soccer has the same problem with hiring and firing of managers. It is entertaining. That's true. I don't know why hockey. European soccer, I get in one regard because they're so fanatical over there. You guys are bad half. You want to fire them. I mean, we've talked about that as ridiculous as that may be. But hockey is not at that level here, so I'm curious about that. This is interesting. If you're planning a parade for the KFOV in New Orleans, the band must play the Empire Electrons theme song. Absolutely. And Mike, who's the composer of that, said, it's called a second line. If you need a band, let me know. I'm telling you, we're going to do this now. You can mark my words, health allowing us. We are going to New Orleans. We're going to have to plan this one in advance. We're bringing a party of folks from here, and we're going to make it a V Foundation, Kentucky and a Friends of V fundraiser, and we are going to have a ball, and we're going to have everybody can wear their State Your Business t-shirts. Man, we got a whole, if I can just find the time to do all this stuff, we're going to have some fun this year. 2020 is going to be fun. If you have a parade, do I have to state my business? Yeah, we probably should march in all the bars and state our business right away. We're here for the Kentuckiana Friends of V, fighting cancer. Jump on board, you drunken SOBs. Hop in here with us. Yahoo!
This image of you just singing that song of the band playing the Empire Electrons behind you, just kind of confused.
Quality
and people mildly annoyed that you're swearing at them and implying that they're drunk.
That. I mean, it depends. It depends on what type of drunk you deal with. You know, there is the oh, here we go. This is not the one I want, though. This is Mike's version, which is nice, but you want the whole band playing.
I don't have that one saved in the computer.
Why don't you save it and we'll pull it up?
Should know and be excited.
This one. They played it well. Then they decided, tell me to go to hell. They didn't really do that. They are very nice. It's a song that has sweet and spice. Hey, by the way, speaking of which is not very good at that, have you seen Chris Turner, the British comedian who is the funniest freestyle rapper? Have you seen this guy since you like comedy? He's a guy, his first bit was he came out very deadpan. He would walk out, he had all the braces on his teeth, and he was the one that did all his jokes and deadpan
face. I remember that guy.
Well, now he's taking on a more normal. That was funny. His bit, that was 5 minutes of comedy gold. That was really, really funny, if you've not seen it. Well, now he does, he goes to the audience and says, give me four topics. And they give him four topics.
Freestyles?
Oh, and the ones the other day were, they could not have been more absolutely absurd and non-related. And he turned it into a whole freestyle rap story that had a conclusion and everything. And evidently, He's legendary at that. I don't know how the hell he does it, to be honest with you. So it's very entertaining. Chris Turner, I think, if you want to check that out. Let me see.
There was a comedian that did that. It was like he did like stand up, but he also it was really impressive. This was back like when there are I think there's still a decent amount of them, but this one there'd be random stand up specials like in the early aughts on Comedy Central, and this one guy like he did stand up, but like there was a mixture of like improvisation, so he'd get like, you know, give me something from the crowd. And I just remember the last song he did was a show-stopping like number. He did it on purpose, and he asked for three things from the audience.
This guy asked for three, but they wound up getting four.
This
might be this guy. How do you know it's not this guy?
No, because this guy was older when he did it, and this was in the early aughts. That kid was a teenager in the early aughts.
Yes,
I just remember the final line of the song was right before the curtain dropped. The three things he got was wood, cheese, and children.
Okay.
He just, the final line was, it was like, God made wood, man made cheese, and women will make children if you just say please. And then the place went nuts. It was, he just belted it out like a rock ballad. It was incredible.
That's pretty entertaining. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about the game last night. We've talked about Paul Rogers' situation. If you missed that, go get the podcast, and we talk to We Want to Know Wednesday. We're still waiting for some good ones from the listeners. We haven't gotten many good ones yet, so we may not have a prize today. You know, we don't give participation awards on this show. We give quality. We give rewards for quality. I think that's the only way it should be, don't you? Yes.
Yes, absolutely. By the way, we have tickets for the Globetrotters and Monster Jam at Freedom Hall. That coming from one fabulous Phil Baker. So 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Please send your
Monster Jam. Is that with the big trucks?
Yeah, that's with the giant.
See,
trucks.
Now that's this.
I've always wanted to drive
one of
those.
This is where my mind gets me in trouble. Uh-oh. How great would that be if they did it simultaneously? The Globies having to play around all these trucks. One of them might get run over. I mean, that's why we watch the circus, is because there's a chance the guy's going to fall off the trapeze. We'd hope he doesn't, but there is a chance. That, you know, she's a lovely girl, but Hoops Green from Lexington, and she's dribbling, and all of a sudden a big truck comes over, and she has to slide under it while she's dribbling. Crowd goes wild. She slides right under the two wheels, comes up the other side, and then, unfortunately, the great thing would be nobody really cares about the Generals, so she then takes a guy into a screen from this big, gigantic monster truck, and a guy just gets absolutely squashed. But it's a legal screen because, you know, the truck is stationary. There we go. The announcer, oh, my God. Russ Johnson there just literally flattened by that screen, literally. And the guys hop out. The kids hop out with that moppy thing they have, you know, and they just mop him up and bring him to the side and bring somebody in from the table. And the crowd's laughing because the Globies are killing the Washington Generals one by one. The game ends with this. Game ends when there's no Generals left. This is great. It goes into the post. Oh, no. Wilson is run over by, what? Don't they have the goofy names for these big trucks, too? Like, Wilson Grave is Digger. Run over by Gravedigger. Crowd loves it. They scoop him up. He literally has no legs, but his upper torso is waving to the crowd as they carry him up. There's Wilson. He's a gamer. He'll be back next week.
I was going to say, maybe you want to give the Generals the monster trucks, make a game of it.
Finally,
they're just trying to get the ball, but
the ghost of Red Klotz comes out in big teardrop or something. He's just plowing Jet Globies up. I've lost for 45 years to USOBs. I've had enough. These poor little kids sobbing in the front row. They just ran over the Globies. You're damn right, kid. You better make a run for it. You're not safe either. Been losing to these guys since 1957.
This image of Globy the mascot just getting the bucket and then he throws it at the truck and the truck just looks at him and just revs it. The poor Globy's got to run.
Yeah, I got your confetti right here.
Then he runs out of the stadium. The good guys have to win. So Globy runs out of the stadium and by God, it's Meadowlark Lemon. Just comes in with Gravedigger and crushes
What's
everybody.
What's sad is that Globies would still win 97-96. You know, Globies, they had, you know, in the trade papers. Globies, 9 players killed, extend winning streak. In an exciting game at the Yum Center last night, the Globetrotters defeated the Washington Generals for the 1,752nd consecutive time.
El Toro Loco with a triple-double.
Fortunately, the Globies now have only 4 active players on their roster. considering there were four deaths and five serious maimings. And then at the bottom, you know, they do at the end of articles, they put the lines, separation, so I get a little separation. The Globetrotters would like to announce actively seeking applications for new players. If you are a player who's got some theatrical skills and doesn't mind getting hit by big trucks, please write.
Can you imagine the ball movement and the dunking that could take place, though, with a monster truck?
Guy says, Rex's block or charge tweets would have a field day with the Globetrotters versus the monster trucks. How do you get Globies tickets? How do you get monster truck tickets? We'll keep listening. We'll tell you that on the other side here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Part of the show, text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Ladies and gentlemen, conference championship week. By the way, did you see that the other day? They don't want you saying ladies and gentlemen anymore.
Why?
I mean,
oh, for people don't about. Identify as.
Well, I mean, but seriously. What are you just supposed to say? Peoples? Hello, peoples?
I kind of like that. Hello, hey, peeps. I mean, I'm trying to be sensitive to that stuff.
I am too, but that seems, I mean, wow.
Ladies, germs, and all other peoples. I kind of like peoples, though. I do. By the way, I'm digging the Sweet Georgia Brown remix.
Evidently, because you're not.
I can't.
Can't turn it off.
Am I supposed to fade it out? Do I have to?
No, you can do whatever the hell you want. Yeah. Conference Championship Week is here. Four teams, two games, so little time left in the season. Don't miss out. Get in on all the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. With so much going on this week, DraftKings has great promotions running every day, underlined. From odds boosts to free bets, they have it all. This week only, bet on any star player. Any star player. Well, it doesn't have to be a star player. Bet on any player. Maybe it is a star player. Maybe they only list the star players. Anyway, bet on a player to score the first TD of the game with odds of 10 to 1. How about that? How about that, Mikey? 10
That's
to
awesome.
1 odds. That sounds like fun. I think I'd want to play that, but you got to do it in Indiana. DraftKings Sportsbook is a safe and secure betting app. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Top it all off, DraftKings Sportsbook is a terrific sign-up offer to date. Right now, you don't want to miss this. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code WHBE when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out with a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. Don't forget, that's code WHBE, and get your sign-up bonus of up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25-time playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Don't forget the code WHBE. All right, here we go. See, you never know when we're going to do these things. First person to... You can look this up because nobody's going off the top of their head. The first person who can tell me who was the composer. I'll take any one of the three of Sweet Georgia Brown. Going to get two tickets to the Globetrotters.
It's not the Teddy Riley.
Nope.
Who's doing the current remix.
Nope.
That
this
playing.
Was written in 1925, a jazz standard composed in 1925. And I know none of you know it, so hustle to your computer. I'll take any one of the three composers. And text it to us at 4379-680. First one to do it. Two tickets to the 7 o'clock game. They're doing two that day. It has to be the night game. And you'll get two tickets. Three composers. Two of the musicians. One was the lyricist. I'll take any name. And you're going to have to look it up because if you know this, unless if you don't have to look it up, you got an advantage on everybody else.
So they're texting this in, 437-9680, UPS jobs text line.
Correct. That's a great line, by the way, referring to one of the radio conglomerates in town. It used to be known as the Cuddly Giant, not so much anymore. Texas said, is intern Crean Jack Grossman, also known as the Cuddly Giant. He should be, because he is a Cuddly Giant.
He is a Cuddly
Giant. We love Mr. Jack Grossman. He's terrific. Let's see. Not a lot of people with We Want to Know Wednesdays coming in here. But that's because we didn't offer prizes. People have to be motivated. So let's see if anybody can find out who these composers are. First one to do it. Abe Saperstein was not. We've got him. Here we go. The first one that came in was this one. Actually, he sent me two of them, and he still was first. It was the phone number ending in 0961. Ben Burney and Kenneth Casey. Kenneth Casey was the lyricist. Ben Burney was one of the composers of the music, along with, I don't even know how you say this guy's name, Maceo? M-A-C-E-O? Is that how you would say Maceo?
Sounds right, yeah.
Maceo Pinkard. Sweet Georgia Brown, written in 1925. I don't think there's much question that the Globetrotters have made the
I'm going to be whistling that the rest of the day.
This is great. Here's a We Want to Know Wednesday. See, this actually opens the can for us here. Ben Burney came up with the concept for the lyrics, although he's not the accredited lyricist, after meeting Dr. George Thaddeus Brown in New York City. Dr. Brown, a longtime member of the State House of Representatives for Georgia, told Burney about Dr. Brown's daughter, Georgia Brown, and how subsequent to the baby's birth on August 11th, 1911, and it's almost your birthday, the Georgia Council Assembly had declared a declaration that she was to be named Georgia after the state. So he said that's an anecdote which would be directly referenced in the song's lyric. Not many people know the lyrics. They just know the whistled version of the Globetrotters. Georgia claimed her. Georgia named her. The tune was first recorded in March of 1925 by band leader Ben Burney. It became number one for him and his orchestra for five consecutive weeks. And, of course, one of the most popular versions is 1949. We have two more tickets we can give out. Here we go. Go to the website. Tell me that 1949 version, who recorded that one? Did you just give that answer before? You might have said it.
Did I say Louis Armstrong?
No, it wasn't Louis Armstrong. That's fine. So great.
Oh, nice. There was a version that he had.
Who recorded it? It's by this person and his group. So give us the name of that. It was that. That's the version that was adopted as the theme song by the Harlem Globetrotters in 1952. So we got two more tickets we can give away. If you can tell us who was the recording artist in 1949 that put that one together that was adopted by the Globetrotters as their theme. So there you go. Jeff, thank you for the kind words. Jeff's just sent us a nice note, and we appreciate that very much. So, wow, the guy who won just won and piled on. He gave us the third composer as well. He was on it. So let's see if you know who the person is. No. It is not.
It's not by the Castle Jazz Band.
Castle Jazz Band is wrong. If you send us that, it would be incorrect. One of the most popular versions of Sweet Georgia Brown was recorded in 1949 by this person. That's the one. Nick, you can't win the prize, but you got it exactly right. So if you can get that one, there it is. We got a winner. Here they come in. Brother Bones in the Shadows. That is correct, my friend.
Man, who's that cat coming down the street?
I don't know, but it sounds like
this person deserves a prize just for their creativity. It was recorded by intern Asshat and the Spunky Producers.
That's strong. I mean, we have Monster Jam tickets, right? We can give that to guy.
Well, maybe ask him if he wants them. That's pretty good.
I don't have the screen up.
Spunky's
would you mind
not
doing
here
it?
Today, is he?
No, Spunky's in the back.
I didn't see him. Is that going to catch on? Because Sweeney doesn't like when other people nickname them. He thinks that's his personal thing, even though I gave some of the best nicknames ever at the network. They're still legendary. They still go by that.
Rob Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah, but those
Tom are Holiday Spice Drink Wassel, who now has a show, I think,
the
in
other
Seattle.
One, though, was Chris Curtis. It was Chris, please hammer, don't Curtis.
What?
That was, see, you're too young. That was
please a, hammer, that was a, don't curse.
Don't Curtis. His name is Chris Curtis.
Yeah.
It was please hammer, don't Curtis. MC Hammer did an album that was multi-platinum called Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Us.
Oh, okay. That is good. All right. Yeah.
That was the one that was legendary up there. Please Hammer. Chris, please hammer, don't Curtis. They enjoyed that one. So my little protest is I refuse to call produce process because he's from Philly. And most of them are
– he loves process, but he low-key loves produce. Yeah, he says
he's produce. And so this guy is going to be spunky if it kills me. And that does fit him, by the way, because he is a spunky dude. He's definitely got some spunk. He would be happy. He seems like a nice enough lad, but I think in fairness, he would gladly kill anybody here to take their job. I mean, if you told him you can have the 3 to 6 show if you'll just go stab Andy Sweeney in the face, he'd say, "Where are you going? These plastic knives aren't going to get it done. I got to go next door. I got to get real flatware." Okay, spunky. See you in a bit.
What are you doing with that letter opener? Just standing out the window staring at you, Dad.
Hey, Sin Olsen, his voice. Hey, Sweeney, how'd you like to see my nice letter opener? Take a good close look. Is he trying to stab that in his eye? I believe he is. Now I understand.
He's coming after the Italians next. He's going after the Valvanos. He wants to pull some Francesa stuff. Five hours.
I made him talk like, not Bela Lugosi, the other one.
Igor?
No, the actor. Oh, my God, I can't stand not being able to pull up names. I couldn't get Bob Shearer's names before.
Oh, spit.
What's the matter? Why are you spitting? Why are you spitting? Don't spit. Oh, it's only 2:01 for us.
Also, we need to get Eric Crawford on the line.
Yeah, we'll get him soon.
Also, we were going to replay Dino Gaudio.
Not Dino replay. We never played. It hasn't aired yet.
Oh, that's a good point.
So let's play that on the other side of this break.
What about Eric Crawford?
He said he's got to be up by 2:30. How the hell long are we going to talk to him? It's only 2 o'clock. What are we going to get his bio?
We have kept Eric Crawford for decent amounts of time.
Not Lon Chaney. Not
how about we
Boris Karloff.
There we go.
Oh, Boris Karloff was more like... That was the one who's used to speak like that.
Was that Eugene Levy doing Boris Karloff or something?
That's such a bad impression. I don't know who the hell it was, but it's kind of a generic monster voice of some sort.
Let's produce on the air.
Okay.
Why don't you tell people about Lightstream?
Here's what we're doing. We're going immediately to Dino Gaudio. As soon as that's done, I'll do a read. That'll give you time to get Eric Crawford on. We'll talk to Eric Crawford till the bottom of the hour. We'll get some more commercial stuff done. We'll give away those monster truck tickets. We'll talk to Katie George. And then we'll end with the kick line, as we always do. On a Wednesday, we bring a whole cast out. That's why you want to get tickets. If you want to be a member of our studio audience, please write tickets. Care of Big Header Producer.
We're doing it.
ESPN Radio.
We're bringing video.
Please list
it's happening.
Alternate dates, because we can't always promise you a seat in the Sam's Taylor Shop Auditorium. There's only so many seats, but I'd love to have you as part of the studio audience. You get to see the whole gang in action. Oswald the drummer, the Woodrow Wilson cheerleaders. Some days when we can get Billy O'Dell to do the read, we like that. You never know if Giorgio's going to pop in. We haven't seen him in a while. So it's just full of surprises. So we'll do that on the other side of this break, or not. We're going right to Dino now. Is Dino teed up?
Yeah.
Let's tee up.
Why don't you do a fun countdown?
No, what I will do, though, is tell you about ESPN Louisville gives you a chance to get yourself a great pizza with a great deal. Use our code RadioXL. You get a 2-topping extra-large pizza for a 2-liter drink for just $14. Do it at thepapajohns.com or the Papa John's app. ESPN Louisville used it. They were asking. I'm so mad. Now I'm restricted to B-roll because I didn't get on with Kent Taylor's lovely wife, Connie, and get a chance to talk to them at Wave. They came over to want to talk to me, and Nick, of course, blew it off, so...
Not true.
Holding me down. The man is always holding me down.
Yes. Big-headed Bruce.
There's no guarantee this is going to go through, of course. I guess it's got to go through the House, the Senate, and then the governor will sign it if it gets there. But at least they got to start. But we'll see. It may get held up in the next level because that's what we do in Kentucky is a whole bunch of people determined to keep it in the 1940s. What are you chuckling about? I didn't say anything funny there. That's true.
I know.
We use Caesars Sportsbook for lines and odds, presented by the book at Caesars Southern Indiana, where Kentuckiana bets sports. U of L takes on Duke Saturday. I won't be there. I've got Colorado going to Arizona for the network, so I'll be out there. But you can join Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage for the Louisville basketball pregame show from Molly Malone's, 5 o'clock. And then immediately after the game, it's the Coors Light postgame show with Ethan Moore. First place you can hear Chris Mack and others. UK South Carolina is in action tonight. Immediately after, Jason Entz and Drew Brown have the Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance. Every time the second guy is somebody, I'm not sure who they are.
It's Big Blue Drew.
I know, but yeah. I don't. It could be Rudabaker, Randy, for all I know. I'm just saying it's never the same guy.
They're expanding the roster, the Sea of Blue Familia with a G.
Oh, very nice. Well, they'll be first place. You can hear from Cal and all the other stuff. NFL playoffs are on ESPN Louisville Sunday. The AFC Championship at 2, the NFC Championship 6:15. All stations have that. The NFL on ESPN Louisville, presented by UPS Jobs, BJ Heating and Cooling, Dave and Buster's Louisville in the Mall of St. Matthews, the Cryo Lounge in St. Matthews. Check them out at cryoloungeky.com. If you mention ESPN, you'll get a free session. And then basketball is going on. Hey, that's nice. They have them. They're airing our game. Thank you, program people. ESPN Louisville has all college basketball, including the NCAA tournament in the Final Four. Tonight, Virginia at Florida State on 93.9 The Ville. That's not an ESPN game, because I was talking to Chris, the SID at Florida State.
It's a WW1, right?
Yeah, Westwood, I think one. It is. And then Thursday is Cincinnati at Memphis. That's another WW1 game on ESPN 680-1057. And Saturday, ESPN Radio brings you Colorado at Arizona. That's my game on 93.9 The Ville. Oregon at Washington is on ESPN 680-1057. And then Charlotte at Western Kentucky is joined in progress after the U of L pregame around 6 o'clock. So got basketball out the proverbial wazoo. And now it's Peter Laurie. Thank you. Thank you so much. Listen, I love our listeners. Peter Laurie, that's who I was looking for. A bunch of people sent me that. MC, here's another We Want to Know Wednesday. MC Hammer owned an Oaks winner in the 90s. How about that? That's pretty good. All right. Look in your email, your texts for the two guys who won the Globetrotter tickets and then the one guy who won the Monster Truck tickets. You'll get a text from us shortly, and we'll do that. That's pretty cool. This is a good one. Wow. This guy's on a roll. This guy might deserve some sort of prize. Did you know Gene Autry is the only person to be awarded stars in all five categories on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Film, television, music, radio, and live performance. The only one. How about that? And there is a boring Oregon and a dull Scotland, and they've been sister cities since 2012. That's hilarious.
That's the leader right now.
And did you know President Abraham Lincoln was inducted into the National Wrestling Hall of Fame in 1992?
I did know that. That was his favorite
sport.
That's
the real wrestling, though, not the, you know, showman.
Right.
Abe, I'm Abe. I'm honest Abe. You come out Tuesday to the auditorium. All the liars, I'm going to take them down because I'm honest Abe. You're like, no,
no. Can you imagine the promo he'd be cutting?
That's be entertaining.
At Appomattox this Sunday, Jefferson Davis, I'm emancipating your ass.
On that, here's Dino Gaudio.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.